Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would turn to 1 Peter. It's the first epistle, the first letter. The word epistle means letter. And we're going to the first epistle of Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ. First of all, I want us to see who's being addressed, who's writing, and who is Peter addressing. 1 Peter chapter 1 begins, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Amen. We're going to be reading more in just a moment, but this is backdrop. The Apostle Peter is writing to whom? He's writing to believers, to ordinary Christians, to people who have been born again. That's what it says. These are folks who've been given new birth through faith in Jesus Christ. So these are the saints that he's writing to, okay? Listen to what he's going to say to believers. First of all, he tells us what God has done for us and that we have this inheritance and salvation that's absolutely dependable. Then in verse 13, he begins telling us that we need to live a holy life, all right? We've said previously that we're saved by grace, and it's through faith, not by our works, but that if we have genuine faith, it'll show up in good works. People who claim to be followers of Jesus and they don't live a godly life, well, the Bible says we ought not to believe them and that they ought not to deceive themselves and think that they are really God's children. Now, beginning in chapter 2, this is where our focus is going to be. Well, let me back up. Beginning in verse 22. "Now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you." As we have these messages leading up to our celebration of the Reformation, we're going to hear about some great heroes. But I want you to understand what made them great was not them. It was their example of faith and obedience to God's word. God's word is what lasts. All men are like grass. All these heroes all died. Some were martyred for the faith. Others were blessed to live until they died of some what we call natural death, though that's an odd term. But all men are like grass, and all their glory like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And all the reformers had in common their loyalty to the word of God. They said, it's not what people say that matters, it's what God says. It's his word, it's the Bible. And that's why they were willing to give their lives in order to make the Bible available to ordinary people in their own language. This is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves, chapter 2, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. And like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. Now we come to the main text that is our focus this morning. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Father, we pray that you would grant us understanding of your word and faith to believe and obey. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Our relationship with Jesus Christ is what makes us a family. If you go back to the beginning of this letter, Peter is writing to people who have been given new birth. They have been born again into the family of God. And in this section that is our focus this morning, when he's talking about how we are to live, all of it is about our relationship with the Lord being the basis of our relationship with each other. We are not part of one ethnic group. We are not part of one geographical group. We are not part of one economic group or educational tier. We are united as a family if we are in Christ Jesus. When we are united with Christ, we are therefore united with each other, and that's why the passage this morning tells us we're supposed to love each other, because we're family. But why are we family? Because of Jesus. And how did he love us? He loved us to the point of sacrificing his life. He loved us to the point of being willing to leave the glories and splendors of heaven and come to earth and suffer and die. He gave his life for us. And now he tells us we are supposed to love one another like that. Well, now, if you look at the history of the church and you look at the way that folks have treated each other down through the ages, it's not exactly encouraging in terms of our propensity for doing the right thing. And I draw some comfort by going back to the pages of the New Testament and finding that doing the right thing didn't come naturally to Christians then either. Okay? It's not as if the natural tendency of those who are born again is to just do what's right. We still have an ongoing struggle with sin. Furthermore, I go back to the pages of the New Testament and I find that back then there were, as there are today, people who claim to be born again, who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, and really aren't. Not everybody is in the family. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is the basis for our relationship with one another. It is our relationship with him that makes us part of the family. But some people who claim to have a relationship with him don't have a relationship with him. Some of you have memorized the passage from Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' is really my follower." Remember that? Let's look at it together. We're going to come back to 1 Peter, so don't lose your place. But take a look in Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21 of Matthew chapter 7. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Did you hear that? Jesus said, "I will say to them, 'Oh, no, I'm sorry, but you lost your salvation.'" Is that what it says? No. It says, "I never knew you." So there will be people at the judgment surprised to find out that they weren't saved. But what was it that kept them from receiving eternal life? It was their lack of relationship with Jesus. Please understand that. Because if you think you can do this or do that or do the other and that'll get you in good with God, you're wrong. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. He's the only way. Our relationship with each other is based on our relationship with him. Our being a part of the family of God is entirely based on our relationship with him. We have to be born again. We have to be in Christ. We have to be trusting in him alone for our salvation. If your hope of eternal life is in yourself, you're going to hear from Jesus I never knew you. I never knew you. What did those people in Matthew 7 have in common? We did this. We did this. We did this. It's all about what I did. Hey, God, come on. You owe it to me. Look at what I did for you. If you think God owes you eternal life because you've been better than some other folks you know, you are going to hell with those other folks. But it is our relationship with Jesus that gives us eternal life, which will be manifested in godly lives. But our only hope is Jesus, not the things we do. You, who are in Christ, are a chosen people. God chose you. Why would he choose me? Because according to Paul's letter to the Corinthians, God loves to choose the people that other people wouldn't pick. Oh, well, I was thinking it was a compliment. Don't worry about compliments. Thank God for grace. Okay? He chose us in order to make it clear that it is entirely his grace and not on the basis of any merits of ours, that somehow we were better than other people. Anybody who thinks that the doctrine of God's choosing somehow should make us prideful hasn't got a clue and very probably isn't chosen because they're still living the way the world does and thinking the way the world does. But when we understand that it is God's grace, entirely his grace, then our hearts are not filled with pride, but rather with gratitude and amazement. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a pretty good fellow like me. No, that saved a wretch like me. I'm amazed by the grace of God. So, you need to realize that God is in the process of building you who are in Christ into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Again, God not only forgives our sins, he actually has a plan for us, and that plan is to build our lives together in relationship as part of the family of God, to be a place where his spirit dwells and is manifested, and we actually offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God. Verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Do you understand? It is about relationship. Because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, we now have a different kind of relationship with one another, and that is why it is so important that we really love one another, as we're told here in this passage.
Say, well, you know, I really want to be an agent of change and reformation in our culture today.
Well, then love your brothers and sisters in Christ. It'll absolutely astound the people around you. You want to know what would be credible evidence that Jesus Christ lives among us? Love one another. Serve one another. Be like Jesus toward one another. Laying down your life in order to minister his grace. I was asked just recently, how far back does the doctrine of the priesthood of the believer go? When did that doctrine come up in church history? I said, well, it started with Peter. Right here, this passage. The doctrine of the priesthood of the believer is right here in this passage. Because what does it say? You are a chosen people, a royal what? Priesthood. Priesthood.
Well, you know, I mean, I just want to be a Christian. I don't want to be a priest.
Well, okay. What does this say? If you are a Christian, you're a part of the priesthood.
You're supposed to be continually living to serve and honor God, to worship Him. That's what your life is all about. You're in the priesthood.
But I wanted to get married.
You can. Okay? The idea that you cannot really serve God unless you're single is not a biblical idea. The Apostle Paul in his letter to the Corinthians says that there are some great advantages to singleness. And that if God calls you to singleness and gifts you with singleness, that's a good thing because it's a great way to serve the Lord. You're not distracted by having to serve your mate. Okay? But he says, but it's a good thing to get married too. And if you are bent toward marriage, by all means, get married because you don't want to end up living in immorality. The notion that it is somehow more holy to be single than it is to be married is ungodly and also can be linked to something else in Scripture, and that is the doctrines of demons, where certain people will come along who are not really following Jesus Christ, and the Bible says they will try to forbid marriage and certain foods. They'll tell you, you got to be under man-made law in order to be right with God. And the Apostle Paul says, don't fall for that stuff. You can expect that to happen. And if you look at church history, it happened. But if you go back to the Scriptures, you find no. We come to God and are made holy on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done, not on the basis of what we do. We are made holy because He is holy, and He comes to live in us, and His righteousness is credited to my account. The result is that increasingly He changes me from the inside so that I look more and more like Him, but I'm not there yet. Okay? I have not arrived. But the Apostle John tells us, consider how great is the love that the Father has shown to us that we should be called His children, and that is what we are. Doesn't even appear yet what we shall be, but we know this, when Christ shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. God is in the process of changing His children from the inside out, and one of the things that He does along the way is He teaches us who we are in Christ. You're a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Jesus is building a building of relationships between people who've been born again. It's all over the world. And I have brothers and sisters in the Roman Catholic tradition, in the Lutheran tradition, in the Episcopal tradition, in the Presbyterian tradition, in the Coptic Church in Egypt, among the Greek Orthodox, all around the world, I've got brothers and sisters. And how do I know which ones they are? Because when I get around them, I can tell the one they're in love with is the one who saved them, Jesus. They are trusting in Him and in Him alone. It's not about the architecture of a man-made building. It's not about the label that's on the door or on the order of service. It is about our relationship with Jesus Christ. That is what makes us one. The Reformation is God's work rekindling the faith of His chosen people in various areas, various languages, and calling them to trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior and live for Him. And the consequence was a new birth of freedom across Europe that spread around the world. God is still working today, still calling His people to walk in faith, which means obedience, still today. And I want to be sure that you don't miss out.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.